thing that I'm so glad our government did, like that they reserved land and locked up land. Now, some people would say, well, when they moved, that have lived in that, on those, in those areas, they moved on to, you know, reservations and everything else, which that's a sad thing, right? It really is. You know, there, it was there. Atlee. Yeah. Okay. So Yellowstone Casino, but, so with that, like all the animals, all the history, all the, like the natural nature that was preserved. Otherwise, you know, as well as me, big developers would have get, am I getting blinded? Yep. Yeah. Sorry. Cause I parked there just for Janet. So Janet sits there. I said, no, I had to pull up a little bit further so that glare gets right into Janet's eyes. So, 1872, that's when, so all that there is, yeah, you can still go to Yellowstone Park today and see, you know, buffalo and bison, bear, wolves and deer, elk, pronghorn, all sorts of animals that are still, that have been there for, since they've lived in, you know, in Yellowstone. It's a generation. It's just gonna keep on going. But anyhow, what does a dad say after dropping his son off at Yellowstone? Bye, son. Bison, bye, son. Okay. What do you call a bison that works out in a gym? A buff fellow. A buffalo. Okay, all right. Okay, a buff fellow. And then if you eat bison steak at a restaurant, what do you get after the meal? You get, not indigestion, but maybe you would. You get a buffalo bill. All right, so those are the things you get. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you how great you are. Lord, we thank you that we can just come here for, and with the freedoms that we have and worship you. Lord, help us not to take our freedoms for granted. Help us to continue to reach out to other people. Help us to work hard to minister to others. Help us to take care of those around us, Lord. And I just pray that you'll speak to us this morning, Lord. As we open your word to speak to us, help us to see how much you love us, number one, for sure, but then how best we can serve you with our life that we have right now, that the life that we are in, to serve you the best of our ability. Anyway, I pray for that. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I stand corrected. So last week, we were talking about Noah. So we've been in Hebrews chapter 11, going through the faith, right? The faith chapter. And we're talking about, and I brought up for whatever reason, started thinking about, yeah, what kind of tools did Noah use to cut down all these trees? And I was like, yeah, it was metal, like, were there axes? And kind of say, well, there probably wasn't axes, but I stand corrected. And I love when I, Jeff, but it was Justin. We went out to dinner afterwards. He's like, hey, Dad. Oh, and Genesis 4. I'm like, what? So I wanted to look. So we talked about what kind of tools Noah was using. Justin was like, yeah, Dad, you're wrong. I'm like, oh, I love to get corrected, but when it's your kid, it's like that extra special correction, you know what I mean? Because my whole life they've been telling me, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. And I, yep. And he was right again. So Genesis chapter 4, we see in verse 22 that Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. So they were in the early beginnings after, you know, before what we have now, right? Before the times of, there were cities, which we, about, they were forging iron. So I stand corrected. So Noah was out there with his chainsaw, his steel chainsaw or Husqvarna, and he probably had all the machinery, right? So, but they were using iron of some sort, which is, we think how technically advanced we are today. But so Noah had an axe and he was chopping down some trees or whatever they were doing, but we know that he was falling trees. So we're continuing. We're looking today at Abraham. Hebrews 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking at 8 through 10. I'm going to read that this morning. So we jump back into Hebrews. First, we're going to start with Hebrews 11, what faith is. When we're talking about faith, this whole series on faith on Hebrews 11 has been focusing on what I call our now, looking at the ancient time and the faith that they had and how can, like, their faith then, what was their now faith? What faith did they have at that time that we look back and say, hey, well, look at their faith. And of course we look and our after we die, when we go home, we're looking at these guys from a perspective of now, like, what was their now faith then, right? So what did they get? So faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what faith is. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sometimes that can be very scary, can't it? Sometimes we fall down on our faith and we're just too scared to do something. Hebrews 11, verse 8, we're looking at Abraham today, which is, we're going to get into this maybe a couple weeks because it's Abraham. And with everything going on in our world today with the Jewish anti-Judaism and anti-Semitism, all this stuff, and people come out from the church and saying, well, the church is the true Israel, and all, like, we've talked about all these things, right? We've talked about it, but what's taking place, and it's like, this stuff all hones in right here with Abraham. Abraham was kind of started this whole thing, like, with this, right? So what we're seeing today goes right back here to Abraham. Verse 8, by faith, which was what? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham. We get this little glimpse in the New Testament right here of Abraham's faith, but then when we dial back and the whole historical Jewish nation, the whole historic, where everything kind of came out of, was right here with Abraham. And today we look at Abraham and people, there's a lot of stuff going on in our societies where people are talking about Israel, the Jews, Palestine, the Middle East, all these things, the Gentiles, yada, I mean, all this stuff, and it comes right back to here. So, Genesis, we first see Abraham. And Abraham, which we know is his name was what? It wasn't even Abraham to start. Abraham, when Genesis chapter 12, we get in to see more of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start and just read this passage here, 1 through 9, about Abraham. The Lord, he said to Abraham, Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I show you. So God told Abraham early in Genesis, right? And Abraham was a descendant out of the line of Seth. So they track that back and you can go through and look back to the genealogies of where he came, of where, the line that Abram came up. Verse 2. I will make you, this is what God tells Abraham. Well, I'm going to start over so you don't hear me just kind of jumping out. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham complained. Abraham back. No. Say that? No. The beauty of Abraham here and what we see about Abraham's faith, he didn't question God. He did not say, well, God, you know, I've lived in my house here next to this river and it's really nice and have, he didn't complain. He didn't say, well, God, I can't leave family because my mechanism is so great with that. He didn't say that. What does he do in verse 6? From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel. So Abraham, verse 4. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and he took Lot with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions that he had accumulated and the people that he had accumulated in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Oh, okay, so here's going to this land. So remember that land, because that land is still in dispute today. Thousands of years later, people are still disputing this land. Okay, but it was a promise from God to this man, Abram, that said, if you will get this inheritance. New Testament pulls out in Hebrews 11 and says, look at the faith. Look at this faith of this man. He stepped out when everything else was kind of, what am I doing here? What do I do? And God told Abram to go. To go. Verse 6, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Once again, they're in that land. And if you go back and look at the people of that land, they were descendants of Cain. They were accursed people, right? They were cursed through the line of Cain, what happened with Cain and Abel. That's the Canaanites were there. And he said, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So God appeared once again to Abraham, Abram. He kept, and he would continue to do that to the next couple chapters. From there, he went on toward the hills of the east of Bethel and pitched a tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And Abram set out and continued toward Negev. So Abraham, in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, is called out of his great faith. His great faith. His faith, number one, was told to do something, did not question, and just did it, right? It's very different than how Jonah was. So Jonah, which we know, Jonah got called to do something, and what did Jonah do? Whoop, he went the other way and said, there's no way I'm going to that crazy place because those people, I hate those people, and he took off the other way and eventually got swallowed by a fish and everything else, and then 10, after God gave him a little beat down, that's when he came over and then did what God told him to do, but not Abraham. Abraham was in his country, and God told him to do something. And he said, okay. And he picked up his stuff. He got his families together. He got the people that were with him. He got, you know, his all the sheep and goat, bison, who knows? I don't know what he had. And what does Hebrews 11 once again say there? Hebrews 11 calls out, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How many times do we ask God? And this is kind of where we're going to be looking now, looking forward. That's the title of today's message. And it took me this time just to get the message title. Looking forward. Abraham here was looking forward. And when we go back to Genesis, what did God promise him? God promised him, one, you're going to be a great nation. Two, you'll be blessed. Those who bless you. You will be blessed. You'll have a great name. You will be a blessing to the earth, to people. You will be a blessing. You will bless those. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. And all people through Abraham and humanity would be blessed. That's what God calls out in Genesis. That's what he calls out in Genesis. And Noah, no, I'm sorry, and Abraham moved forward. He was looking forward. How many times in our faith do we not look forward? Right? How many times we're kind of set up in our life, things are good, or we have our life kind of planned out, we know what we want to do. And let's say we're reading scripture and we feel the Lord telling us and prompting us to do something and we just don't do it. Are we looking forward? Abram was looking forward at a land that he still didn't know what was. He had no clue. God told him, Abraham, go. He picked his stuff up and he started to walk. He had faith, and as continued to travel, you know as well, he didn't have the highways. He didn't have the byways. He didn't have bridges to go over these rivers and streams that he was just going. And as he had his group of everything and his tents and his camels and all this stuff that they were traveling, I'm sure there's people within his company that said, what are we doing? Right? And Abram was just looking forward. This is what God told me to do. Why? Because this is what God promised me. This is what God has told me to do. And Abram stepped out and did that. Looking forward. So how many times do we lose track of looking forward? There's the law when we drive. So this, I think it started last year, but when we drive, we're not allowed to hold, you're not allowed to text. I think you can use GPS, but you're not supposed to have your text device, your phone in your hand. The method by state says is you pull over. You secure your car, however, you stop, put it in park, whatever you want to do, in neutral, or put on the brake, but you have to pull over and you secure your car. Makes sense, right? It really does. How many times have I go past people, especially teenagers, and I love teenagers, and I would harp into my kids every Put your phone in the back. Put your phone in the back. We, you know, do our driving lesson. Put your phone in the back. Don't pick the phone up. If you're going to hit somebody, you're going to jail. If you're on your text, just put it in the back, right? But you go down and you see people time texting and because it's just, and what, I don't know what that is, right? You're driving. I have my phone kind of like up on a magnet. So I have my GPS. This week I was driving. For someone to get back to you, working on a deal or something. They say what, and it just happens. You get distracted. This law that the state put in, it's this texting law, and they named it, I'll tell you, they named it after a guy who was killed, and his name was Paul, it's called the Paul Miller's Law. So this law, the Paul Miller's Law, is what I just talked about, that you're not supposed to have your texting device in your hand. Paul Miller was a 21-year-old guy in 2010 that was just driving down the road, minding his own business, and a tractor trailer came from the southbound lane or the northbound lane and into his lane across a grass median and took him out head on, totally destroyed his car and another car, and killed this 21-year-old guy because the guy was distracted, this distraction. So there's a lot of types of things that they list, that the state lists. When you're distracted, this is things, some of the things that it causes. It's a major, so there's 1.6 million accidents that happen from distracted drivers, people that are taking their eyes off the road. They're not looking forward. They're looking at something else. They're distracted into something else. So they say texting and driving, it's a major cause of fatal crashes. Okay, that's a given. They say it's the equivalent to driving blind at 55 miles an hour for 5 seconds when you look at your phone. You take your eyes from looking forward on the road, it's equivalent to going 55 miles an hour and putting your blind, is what the state says. It increases crashes dynamically by 23 times more. More likely that you're going to have an accident if you're looking at your phone. Teens are highly affected. We talked about that. And it's called inattention blindness. So that's what it's called. They call it an inattention blindness. So you're not paying attention. You're blind to the fact. So this texting all comes down to, this law all comes down to stop one thing, a distraction. Just like this is how we are in our faith life. When we're not looking forward, right? And we're distracted. We get distracted by all sorts of stuff, don't we? I know I do. I'll be walking in faith, and I talk to many of you. In the last 2 years, I've been walking in faith. I'll tell you what, more than I ever have. And sometimes you walk out in faith, and you're like, oh, I don't know, but you know, this is what I know. Back to what I've seen God do. Right? Back what God did for Noah. I know what God did for Abraham. I know what God did for the apostles. I know what God did for before when I saw that fire come out of nowhere. Most ever. Faith. So Abraham stepped out in that faith, and he was not looking back, which we get in. There's some great stuff as we get going down here into chapter 11 revolving around this. We're not hitting that today. But he was looking forward. He wasn't looking back. He didn't take his stuff and get all the stuff together and walk out. And he didn't do that and look back and say, bye, Daddy. Bye. Like, he wasn't doing that, right? Bye, Mom. I love you. Like, he loved his parents, right? But God told him to do something. He didn't walk out and say, I can't leave that structure I built, and I had that forge going because my great-great-great in the genealogy told me how to forge metal because that's what Noah used. He didn't say that, right? All this stuff, he didn't. He looked forward. He moved forward. God said to do this. He looked forward. He wasn't distracted, just like we get texting and all that other stuff. He was not distracted. His focus is, what does God want me to do? And he didn't step back and say, I can't do this, I can't do that. He was trying to walk in a way that honored God. And we know the story of Abraham, which we'll get into more, that he wasn't perfect either, which we talked about Noah too, right? These guys aren't perfect. They were never perfect. They weren't created to be perfect, but they walked in this faith, this faithful manner, this faith that they walked towards to honor God, this faith that they looked forward. And that's where I'm like, how can I get that? And you think about, I think about often many times in the time of Christ. So Christ was on earth, and as Christ was on earth, what happens? He's going out. He's going into towns, and people are coming up to him. And he's all in Israel, right? Once again, he's all in Israel. And this Roman centurion comes up to him, a soldier. He comes up to Jesus, and he says, "Jesus, will you hear my?" Jesus says, "Yeah, I'll come to your house." And the soldier said, and you can find it if you want to know this story. It's in Matthew chapter 8. He says to the centurion soldier, "I'll come to your house." And the soldier said, "No." So think about this faith, right? He says to Jesus, "Just say the word. Just say the word. I'm a military guy. I understand authority. I understand how things are, how the had so much faith that he said, "Lord, just say the word, and I know it will happen." And Jesus was, and you can read that, Jesus was like, and in all of Israel, I haven't found this much faith. And here comes this, more faith than all of Israel. That type of faith, right? The centurion, the same way. He was looking forward. He understood who Jesus was. He understood who God was. And he had the faith principles to say, God can do whatever he says he is going to do, right? That's what I know of God. God is our basis that we need to put our faith, obviously, for our future faith in Jesus Christ is our salvation, that we all know that we can only get to Christ. We can only get to God through Christ, through blood, his sacrifice for us, us believing in that, holding to that, and walking in that faithful manner, right? Our now faith, how's that look? Do we forget it? Do we drop it? Are we texting? Are we being distracted? You say, "Well, yeah, I'm not going to do that because that doesn't make sense in the human mind. It doesn't make sense." So all this stuff is taking place all the time in our world. And right now, I think it's very, very interesting. And this is why I want to pull out the next couple of weeks on Abraham, because we see right now the deception that's taking place. We've talked about it before, about the modern day church, our church, the society of our church today, saying, "Well, hey, we're Israel. We don't really need Israel because the church is Israel." That's not what scripture says, right? It never says that. And it gets me floored. But anyhow, we are grafted in to Israel, that we are grafted into the Jewish nation. We are, as Gentiles, the church is grafted in this covenant, this promise that we see in Genesis that God made to Abraham, not to our modern day. We think we're so great today, right? It's just not how it is. Scripture tells us otherwise. But the deception now comes in and people say, well, you know what? We really don't need Israel. And you see it on social media. We see it all over the place, anti-Semitism. We see it that we don't need Israel. Israel, this is what we hear. This is, the kids here, social media pushes it. You don't need Israel. Israel is just a problem. Israel causes all the problems. And I'm not saying Israel's perfect, right? Just like no nation is perfect. All I'm saying is they're the one that the promise was given to by God. That remnant of Israel, that's the one that we hold with. That's the one that is moving forward. That's where we are as into that remnant, that spiritual dimension that we are put into. It's hard to understand so many times because we just see the natural, we see the day to day, we see flesh and blood and stuff, and it's hard to remember those things. But so Israel, we see right now that they should just be eliminated, and we also hear that, well, they stole the land. They're from river to sea. Well, we saw what happened in Genesis, what was promised to Abraham. And our younger generation, so many times they don't, because they don't hear it. God told Abraham, go. Abraham stepped out and he looked forward. He looked towards what God wanted him to do. He put down distractions as long as he could, because he was too and he had distractions. He stepped out, and scripture pulls out Abraham as what? As our father. Right? Abraham. As we close, you know, you get into that spiritual dimension, and I want to look forward. Right. I want to look forward. I want to walk towards what God wants me to do as a person. I try to lead me like that as I can. I try to instill other people as best I can as I walk my life. And as before, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, what's my birthday date? You know, you go to the store, and, you know, being in the food business, I always see the expiration date and the best buy date. And I'm walking out to pick something up out of and I'm like, I wonder what my best buy is. So I asked Jen, I was like, hey, what do you think? Like, what do you think yours is? Like, I don't know, but you know, I'm pushing my shelf life, right? I'm pushing my shelf life, what my best buy date is. So I want to make sure that I'm looking forward and doing the best that I can to serve my God by looking forward and walking in a faithful manner. So, as we see what happened yesterday, right? We talked about Iran getting bombed and all this stuff happened in the Middle East. My mind immediately went to, because Iran is what? Iran is Persia. Persian. It took me back to Daniel. And we see the information on Daniel. And where the angel was blocked. Can I read that real quick, Daniel? Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. I just want to, this is where my mind went. I'll start in 12. And then he continued, do not be afraid. Humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard up in heard. Of the Persian kingdom resisted days. spiritual in Persia. So I was wondering, hierarchy of spiritual stuff. Still there. Yeah. Did you know what I'm saying? Like, is that still there? I was listening to Jack Hibbs. I don't know if you ever listened to Jack Hibbs. I love listening to Jack. There's a couple of preachers I really just love listening to. Some might like, some of you might not, and I don't care because I love all of them, right? So, and I'll listen to them. And so Jack Hibbs was talking about a prophecy in Jeremiah, which I was like, I listened to it twice yesterday as we were driving. I'm like, and I want to talk about it. I just want to understand it more because it was like all revolving around Persia. And my mind went to that spiritual dimension that these angels in this dimension, it's like this chess game. We think we're so smart. We think we know it all. And all we, so many times we're just concerned about our modern day world, our modern day, our cushiness that we have today. How can we live and how can we be taken care of? And how can I have all the money I need to survive? And but there's this dimension, spiritual dimension that it's like this chess game. But we already know that God is in control. What was happening in the spiritual realm in this segment of Persia? Was there a battle going on in the spiritual realm? Because we know what the end play is. The end play is Jesus is coming back. So I don't know. Hey, we can't let this happen because then Jesus is coming back more and then we're going to be the pit family. We want to, have, I don't know those things. But there's a spiritual dimension taking place and our faith is that same way. Our faith is a spiritual dimension that we have to walk when others don't think it makes any sense. We have to follow God, right? We have to follow God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your greatness, your love, Lord. Lord, I just pray. As I traveled this week, I was praying and I didn't know really what to pray. So I prayed this, Lord, and as we find in Revelations, what the angels would say to you, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Say that with me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Lord, we know that you are the holy creator. Lord, help us to remind ourselves that as we walk our life. Help us to have this faith looking forward to honor you, to serve you in a manner of a way that is worthy of your love, Lord. And I know you love us anyhow, but Lord, help us to try to love you better. We thank you for this time, Lord. We pray for our faith to increase. In your name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed. There's some more coffee.